Dear people, will you please open your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Well, as we see, this morning we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper. And I will continue with the study of the book of Colossians using the first thought in verse 16 to prepare our hearts for the Lord's table. I want to read a few verses before we get to that, and that will be from chapter 3, verses 12 down to including verse 17. And it reads thusly, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, so which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." As we're in this passage, we're in the section which is covered as motivatives and principles of the Christian life. We find that the Apostle Paul, what he did as he wrote to the Colossian believers, he told them who they were in Christ Jesus, and he told them how they should live with Christ Jesus, and he gives them what is necessary. And in verse 12, he goes on to how the body life should be lived together. No Christian is a Christian unto him or herself alone. We're connected to one another. And Paul says and shows that in verse 12, "So as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, tenderness, kindness rather, humility, gentleness, and patience." What is that all for? That's for the life we live together. Verse 13, he says, "Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you do." Paul is saying that there should be a body life that is there, which is recognizable, and it should be that which is live and is powerful amongst the people of God as they live together. Then he says in verse 15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful." Many say if they read these verses, Paul is telling how the people should act themselves. What should each individual Christian do? But Paul is indicating here, what he means right here is how the body of Christ get along. Any local church and how it lives with one another. He says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Verse 16 is where we are today. Notice as we read this one, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to God." Now, as we look at this verse, Paul is saying, now here, we can see clearly again that there is a body connection here. It's not just what one individual Christian would do. A lot of times we read certain passages like this and we think it applies to me and what I should do, but it has a connection to all who are united in Christ Jesus. And again, this is the section, motivations and principles of the Christian life. I will continue in this word, but I will look at only the first phrase in this 16th verse. "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." That's what we're going to use this morning as we prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table. It is clear that this verse is connected to verse 15. Verse 15 begins, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Paul says now, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Here is Paul is concerned with how the brethren are going to live with one another. This peace described in verse 15 focuses upon the church body, not any individual having some peace with nobody, but a peace which can be seen and can be exercised and can be recognized by all. In verse 16, Paul is focused upon the word of Christ as it affects the life of the church. Yes, some of the commentators look at it, and we know Paul is saying here too, it's in the life of the believer also, but it does not just embodied in the life of the believer only. It's what is going to take place in the church. The subject of this phrase that I'm looking at is the word of Christ. Paul is speaking about the message that proclaims Christ, or the message that about the Messiah, the word of the gospel. The phrase also includes the authentic teaching about Christ. If you back up on verse chapter 1 in this very book, you notice what Paul writes in verse 5. He said, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard, the word of the truth of the gospel. The word of Christ has to do with all that Christ stand for, all that would come because of Christ. The word of truth is the word about Christ, or the word of Christ. What Paul has in view here is the teaching about Christ and salvation to his people. It is the central message of the church. Paul is saying this word should be the word that's in you. Therefore, the brethren must make the gospel and the person and work of Christ the main subject in the life of the church. This word reveals the eternal work of God concerning the Christ, our Savior and Mediator. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, you don't need to turn there. I'll just read it for you. Here we find that basically Christ, what God is saying, and even what Jesus Christ said himself. Remember when he went into the temple and he picked up the scriptures and he began to reading. And he started, and I'll give you what he says, what is written in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has set me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, and set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Jesus said that what he is doing is what God himself has given him to do, and that is to bring to life the truth of the gospel. This is the promise of God in all that the Bible teaches about the ministry and the purpose of Jesus Christ. So here Paul is saying, let the word of Christ. And so here we find, when we look at the word of Christ, it takes in all of the Bible. It's everything that God has to say, because what God, Christ is doing, he is fulfilling what the Bible itself teaches about us, about him, about what Christ will be, about all the things that you and I will have, and how are we going to live in this world. But he says, let the peace of Christ, notice what it says about this, peace, I'm sorry, let the word of Christ, he says here, richly dwell within you. Paul uses some powerful words here. He says to dwell, but he says richly dwell. The word is used in many different ways, but we know what it actually means. It means abundantly, largely, bearing much fruit. Those who are the rich in the world, you know, they have a lot of money. They have so much money, sometimes they can't even keep up with it. But we poor folk, we can keep up with our little pennies, can't we? So he said, now, they have this abundantly, a large amount. So Paul is saying, let this word of Christ, let everything which is taught about Christ, everything the scriptures say about Christ, let it richly, let the fullness of it be. This can have two meanings. Get all you can of the truth of Jesus Christ into you. Receive all the truth about your Savior. And then secondly, let all of this truth into your heart. affection, memory, and life. Let everything about Jesus Christ flood your inner being. What this means is let there be no part of that word of Jesus or God that does not affect you. Richly expresses that concern that the word of Christ, though, let the word of Christ richly, there should be just one quick thought about the biblical truth, you know. And people think this, oh, I read the Bible and I got the idea of it, and so therefore I can keep on going. But no, that's not what Christ says. He says, when he says richly dwell, he said, let that word find a place in you. Instead, there must be a serious meditation that the word will be able to transform the lives of the person who has it. All the brethren, when this word come in, it's going to take part of everything. It's going to be there. But notice what he says, let it richly dwell. But we know what that means, don't it? All of us dwell someplace, don't we? We have a home, we have an apartment, or whatever the case may be, but that's where we dwell. So he's saying, let the word inhabit you. Let it live in you. The Holy Spirit in Romans 8 and 11 says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Means take up residence. Let it be the very thing that lives there. Let it be there, comfortable living within you. You know, there's a lot of things that people say about dwelling, and a lot of things that people do sometime about, even as we are, you take the word of God. Many people think because I read the word of God last night or last week or so and so, that I got Christ in me. But to dwell, the place he means here is let him have full control. Let him be in the whole house. Let him be there within you, teaching and admonishing you. The truth imparted by the word of Christ must control every thought, word, or deed. This would include the motives and desires of every member in the church, because this is what Paul is saying here now. It is only when the word dwells in the heart that it will dwell among the brethren. And so some could say, if you look at it, yes, he's speaking that it has to be in the believer first, but being in the believer, it now comes to dwell in every member in the church. You see, Paul doesn't see the church as made up of disconnected people confessing Christ. They are the body of Christ. Christ himself, he saved them. He connects them to them. So he says, let this very word of Christ, let it dwell in you. It is only when it dwells in you that we can find ourselves truly having that kind of love and connection to one another. The verse is focused on the worship of the collective body, the togetherness that the body has. Therefore, Paul is exhorting the church to put the message of Christ at the center of corporate life. A lot of people talk about Jesus, but they're not following nothing what Jesus says. Paul is saying here, if there's going to be the kind of life that'll give glory to God, the kind of life which is going to prove, as we look back earlier in this very chapter, set your minds on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ and in God. How is that going to be known? Paul is saying here, because Christ is going to take up residence in your heart. He is there. We know that is the fact, because that's what salvation is. But he's saying now, in your living, make sure that you show that everything that I'm doing, Christ is the one that has complete control. And in that living, you can say and understand that this is the very thing we see and understand about the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear people, he's speaking to you and I today. He's not just speaking as we find it in this book, and that it meant something to the Colossian brethren a long time ago. It means the same as it meant to them, to us today. And he's saying to us, And Paul, in the midst of this, remember, this is the whole idea of that closeness of the body, how the body of God, Christ, live together and how they're going to live with the oneness that exists there. You see, Christ's church should not be an organization that have all kinds of schisms and problems going on in them. That did not the case. And you know, we read about that sometimes. Some of us may have come from past situations where you have more trouble going on in the church than you have out in the world. You have this little party want to get this done or that done, and you don't have that oneness in the body. Paul says, no, you must show and prove to the world who you are by, first of all, individually, you dealing with the truth that is there. So the question is Christ in you? That's the real point. Is he in you? Well then, live like he's in you. Make sure you do what things that needs to be done. And that here, Paul is saying, yes, there is a body life, which is, we can say, individually. If Christ is not in you, tearing down all those areas of sin and all those little isms you may have, it is not going to filter out to the body. So first of all, it has to be there. But Paul's main focus here is on you Colossian brethren. And as you now been called out of darkness and into light, you live, show the world around you what the economy of God is, who Christ is, that word that you love, that word that you have now brought you to change your life. How do you live right now? You live with him. Let that word dwell. Let it dwell. In other words, let it live. And really what the apostle is saying is a couple of things here. He says, let the word of Christ, which you dwell within you, the word of Christ dwelling in every member of the body is what he's saying. Yes, it's going to dwell in each and every one of us. But what will stop the flow of the word having its free pass in all the body is that when one of us, we have some problem and he's not really completely dwelling in me. If that's the case, there's going to be a breakdown. But Christ is the one, the word of Christ dwelling. Matthew 13:9 says, he who has ears, let him hear. Hear what Christ is saying, and how he is saying through the Apostle Paul right now, how you and I must act. It is Christ Jesus who's the one who's given the word to Paul. And he's the one who's given it all to his churches now. John 15:1, if you abide in me, Jesus says, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done. Turn to that passage with me and notice what the apostle says, or what Jesus rather says here when he talks about how you must show and what is going to be the proof of who you are. In John chapter 15, Christ starts this whole chapter with the analogy of the connection that he has to his very church. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You see the picture Christ is saying. There'll be some who say they're connected to me, but I'm going to cut them away because they're not with me. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. It is the word that is in you. It is the word about me that you live by. He goes on, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of its unless it abides in the vine. Excuse me. So neither can you unless you abide in me. Live in me. Christ is saying that way. But in Colossians, he says, he must live. His word must live in us. Jesus go in. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Oh, there are many people at the end when Christ comes, or even in their death, if it comes first, they are finding out that they thought they were abiding in Christ, but they have nothing there. And so this whole idea of abiding, Jesus is not saying that let his words not just fill a little space in you. Let it take up a little room, you know, and keep the rest of the house to yourself. If we use our soul as a house, you come and you live in a house. It is not, allow me a little room only, but allow me to fill the whole house. Let him take control of every area in your heart and life, is what he's saying. Don't give me the section that you think you can give up. Because this over here, it tells me who I am. It proves to me who I am. I am this, and so I can't give this to Christ. Well, Christ, you can't now intrude on this area of my heart. Paul is saying that this is what he must dwell richly, flowing over, taking care of all parts of it, none of it to be kept for ourselves, none of it to be left where we think that, you know what, it's fine, I could do this and do that and the other thing, it really doesn't matter. Let the word of Christ is the complete message of Jesus Christ also. He is the word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Paul is saying here, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that word should be the very thing that not only flows in each and every one of our hearts, but in a congregation, it should be the very thing that keeps the congregation as one. The entire message of redemption, salvation, and eternal life is embodied in Jesus Christ, which means a complete message of the Bible and salvation must be in us. It should be the very thing that keeps us, the very thing that takes us through the week, the very thing that motivates us as we pray for one another, as we get along with one another. And it keeps us from doing what Paul said earlier on to this. He gave some real things about how a church life, how body life, I should say, ought to be. A heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, forbearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so you also the same. Paul has laid all this down, and he's telling here now, it is the word of Christ as it's in you, living, breathing, having full aspect, every part of your soul as the house, he's there. He lives in it. He has every corner. There's no shut door to Christ in your heart. No, everywhere, here I am, Lord. All of it is yours. As a young Christian, it's because I didn't understand. I just thought that, you know, you confess Christ as your Savior. And as you go along, you know, some things you're going to do bad, this and that, you know, but Christ is my Savior. And to the Lord taught me more and more. No, Christ is more than my Savior. He is the one who's in me. He lives in me. He guides me. He not only teaches me, he helps me. He strengthens me. He allows me to be able to say no to sin. And this is the very thing that Paul is saying too. Remember what he said through this very passage here? But now you also put them all aside. Put them off. What? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self. That old man, that old woman, old boy, that old girl is dead. New life is given. Now that doesn't mean the body itself is gone, but that means that the body itself has no power. Only way it has power is when we give them power. And as we give these body powers, it goes on. But you see, Christ is here saying this entire message of redemption and salvation is what we see. Paul is saying here, we must understand that it is the complete message of Christ. Now we must give the word of Christ the dwelling place in us. Let it have complete control. The truth will affect the way we live for Jesus Christ. It would make us be those who are truly find ourselves saying, yes, Lord. And if anything should crop up and trying to cause us to go off path, we will be able to fight and say, no, we're not doing that. Why? Because Christ in us and his word, the truth in us, will be the very thing that will battle down those areas that will come. And dear people, I look at this portion of this verse, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. What better way to come to the Lord's table? In light of this truth, let us take the elements with settled hearts to give Christ full control of our hearts. If there is something you are hidden from him through your past life and up till even walking with Christ now, you're keeping it to yourself, you won't turn that over to Christ. If you belong to him, turn it over. We're going to come to the Lord's table. We're going to see what Christ did and how Christ himself with his disciples, he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This cup is my blood, which is poured out for you. When we come to that, are we going to become that, taking the elements of Christ Jesus and saying to ourselves, you know, yeah, I'm take this because it is what the church does, but there's a section here that he can't have. You eateth and drinketh damnation to yourself if you do that. Paul told us that in 1 Corinthians. Come and eat properly. Take the elements properly. If you're going to close Christ out of one section of your heart, or any section, you and I need to know and understand, we are closing off the blessings that Christ will give to us. So here's what Paul says to us. And I give this to us this morning. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. And again, the word is the whole Bible teaching about salvation and grace and what Christ is. So that means we take the Bible, all of that we can get, we get it in us. And then that Bible becomes the roadmap of our lives. When we want to do something, we think of what the Bible says. That's the word dwelling in us. Not what philosophy says. Not for this family. Paul, remember, he just went over that. He told them, brethren, there are those in the very area, and some believers come into the church that believe it to tell you, you know what? You could even worship angels. And all these guys who have all these different ideas, you could follow them. No. We will say no to that. Just Christ. Christ and Christ alone. Brethren, may we come to the table. May we take the elements this morning and saying, as we take it, Lord, everything in my heart belongs to you. You fill every fabric of my being. You are here. I'm going to live by what you say. This is what Paul is saying. And he goes along a little further as we see how that will be even shown in the congregation of the believers. But let us prepare our hearts to come to the table. Let us pray. Oh, blessed God in heaven, we do thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace, for your goodness. Lord, even as we think of this truth here, it is something that we need to understand. Thank you for growth where we are right now, that we can see and understand that you have brought us to the place where we do not fight against that truth, the truth of the Bible, the scriptures and what it tells us what to do, but we humble ourselves to it. But Father, we would ask you this, oh Lord God, help us. If there's anything in the areas of our lives where we're just holding to ourselves and we're thinking that we have control of it, oh Father, cause us to drop that thing even now. Even as we come to prepare for the table, to look at Christ and his death for us, let us drop it all, knowing he gave his all for us. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name.